This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I am not going to use the Borg phrase about being assimilated or something like that in considering Christian Kroma's vision of a utopian future where we get control of technology, because he sees it in a nice way. Good things are going to happen to us. It was certainly a different direction for the show.
I think all of our people really like thinking about the future. When we get talking about things like UFOs, and we try to wonder what the technology is behind them, and we think about space and space exploration, and that's typically right in line with all of the people who are interested in the kind of stuff that we talk about on the show. And so that's why I would say we got to get this guy on, because I know that our audience would really love him, actually, really like to hear what he had to say. I mean, at times he sounded like a prophet. This is the guy that healed his daughter with light and then had visions about patterns in nature that he believed would lead to the salvation of humanity, you know. So I think he fit right in.
That is certainly the paranormal aspect. And his daughter is safe, is apparently doing very well.
Yeah, well, healing with light is something that ETs do very regularly. In my book, The Healing Power of UFOs, that's their main method for healing people. So I'm not surprised to hear that. I mean, we're using light for healing more and more in modern medicine.
Of course, we have Preston Dennett, who's our guest this week. His book is Schoolyard, UFO Encounters. And by the way, he'll be a featured speaker at the UFOCon 2020. February 20th to 23rd near San Francisco. Okay, guys? Might be fun. I've been to San Francisco a long, long, long time. And I'm not going to have flowers in my hair. Nobody under 50 knows what that means. Seriously speaking, Preston, what made you look towards this unique type of sighting?
Wasn't looking for it, that's for sure. I got involved in this field in 1986. I was very skeptical, did not believe it for a second. Heard a report on the news about a sighting over Alaska. It's a very famous sighting, actually. Mid-November 1986. And I thought, this pilot is out of his mind. He's lying. He's, you know, hoaxing. He's misperceiving. I don't know, but just couldn't be a UFO. And was interested enough to start asking, you know, people in my family, my friends. And I got a real shock, found out my brother had seen a UFO, chased one in his car with his two friends. My sister-in-law had a sighting over Van Nuys Air Force Reserve Base here in California. First humanoid case I ever got, actually. And it was a gray ET, two gray ETs, which weren't popular in the media at this time. Very few people were talking about this sort of thing. She had certainly never read any books on this, and she's describing these typical gray-type ETs, large, dark eyes, huge bald heads, hairless. They were standing in front of Stagg Street Elementary School. Now, she was a college student at the time. This was late at night, late 1970s.
Yeah, so this would have been, like, before communion with Stryber and all the big face, you know, alien, gray alien faces everywhere, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
There were a few books out. I mean, Travis Walton's book was out, Betty and Barney Hill, Betty Andreessen, but, you know, that was about it, really.
Yeah, that's still pretty obscure back then. Okay, so school, college.
Yeah, I mean, it was startling enough to hear her saying that she saw these gray ETs, which by that point I knew what they were. She didn't. She's describing this thing, and I was kind of like, wow, I knew what she was going to say. Equally startling was where they were, which was right, you know, in a place you'd least expect, right in front of an elementary school. Now, she was the only one who saw them. And this was late at night, so I didn't really think that much of it. But this sort of thing, you know, as the years went on, I started investigating more. I run across these types of cases. There was one gentleman I interviewed, Mike Evans. He was a participant in the Coronado Island UFO incident in March 1994. It was kind of a mass abduction, and he was one of the guys who was taken. And he described, as a kid, having a visitation on the playground at a elementary school in Hawthorne, California. He had missing time. Didn't remember what happened, but kind of woke up and had this scoop mark or this cut on his leg. So this is how I kind of got introduced to it and didn't really connect the dots until I started hearing, you know, some of the more famous cases like the Rua, Zimbabwe case in 1994 where a UFO landed on the playground. 60-some children saw it. A smaller number of children saw humanoids as well. And that was a big case, certainly. I knew of another case in Australia, the Westall High School case. That was in 1966, April. And that involved like 300 students who saw multiple UFOs, at least one of which had landed, perhaps two or even three. A lot of people saw this. A bunch of kids ran up to this landed UFO. It had actually made landing traces. A huge case. And so I started to look into it, and I found out there were a few more famous cases. There was the Hillsdale, Michigan case. That was a college in Michigan, and this involved 87-some students, as well as school officials and police, for that matter, who observed a UFO hovering in front of the college, and it actually landed at one point. This was, 2 weeks before the Westall High School case, by coincidence. And there was another real famous case in Wales, the Broadhaven Elementary School case. You guys probably heard of these. There was like 12 or 15 students, all real young kids, who saw a silver kind of football-shaped object land right next to their school, and out comes this humanoid and approaches them pretty closely, actually, scared the daylights out of them. They ran back, tried to alert the teachers. The teachers didn't believe them, and didn't look until it was too late. The object was gone at that point. So that's kind of what got me started looking into it.
Well, that's why we love having you on, Preston, because you're always this sort of cheerful refresher course in cool UFO sightings. Like, yeah, you know, people like us that listen to the show, yeah, we might have run across these in the past, but I absolutely love hearing about them again because they're important enough to say once in a while, especially for people who don't know the cases. And I'm really, I couldn't tell you what happened with all of them. I know about the Ruha Zimbabwe case pretty well. I think John Mack was in on that, right?
Yeah, that's the ultimate case of this kind. But what was so shocking about this when I started looking into it, I thought, you know, this might make an interesting article or something. And I thought I'd find a few cases because, you know, you always do when you dig deep. But I found way more than a few. You know, I found well over 100 cases of these objects hovering over schools. And mind you, this is not like a random flyby where you see an object way high up there and it just keeps on going. In these cases, these objects are specifically targeting schools. They're coming in usually during the daytime, which I think is an important distinction because most sightings are at night, not with schoolyard cases. They come when the children are at recess, which I find another strange coincidence about that because, boy, that turns up a lot. Typically very low level. I'm going to say, 1,000 feet would be high on the higher end. These objects come to within 300 feet, 200, 100, 50 feet, even lower, 20 feet, 10 feet. It's shocking, but of the 100 cases, about 30% involve humanoids or landings or missing time or a very close encounter.
Well, evidently, whatever's behind the UFOs definitely gets started with our school kids. We've got more to come here. The book is Schoolyard UFO Encounters. Preston Dennett is the author, and we got a lot more ground to cover. By the way, I should mention my son Grayson is a teacher. We'll get into more of the implications of that, if any, with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. That bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000-plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Sir Preston Dennett, who has collected zillions of UFO sightings, is talking to us about the schoolyard UFO encounters. And I mentioned parenthetically before that my son Grayson is a teacher. He teaches students in Spain how to speak English in Madrid, Spain. Now, these are middle school and high school students mostly. And I kind of wonder here, knowing this, whether he's going to be a little bit more careful about what he does. This is obviously, Preston, a worldwide phenomenon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's cases really all over the world. I already mentioned Australia and Wales, about England, certainly, France, Spain. There's a case, I believe, Brazil, Venezuela, all over the world, all across the United States, Canada. So, yeah, it's absolutely a worldwide phenomena and stretches back. Well, the earliest case I found was 1853, and that was, let's see, Burritt College. This is in Tennessee. This involved your tip. It's the typical sighting. They follow the same pattern. In that case, these objects were seen for about a half an hour. Schoolyard cases are not brief. The typical sighting is very quick. Schoolyard cases, they last, gosh, minimum of 5 minutes, usually a half hour, hours, or even over a period of days. And that was true in this Burritt College case. These two objects hovered pretty high up there over the school for a half hour and put on what amounts to a display, kind of flashing and changing sizes and darting around and changing shape. And I'm doing all these kind of weird maneuvers, which in my mind, you know, having gone over so many of these types of cases, they're doing some kind of publicity stunt, announcing their presence, wanting to be seen. I mean, I just can't get past that.
Yeah, that seems to make perfect sense. And it's always on their terms. You notice that. And what you said about them showing up when the kids are at recess or on their way to school sometimes or on their way home, always like when they're let out of school. You don't hear too many cases where, well, I guess if they're sitting in school, they wouldn't see it anyway. Maybe there's one there, but nobody saw it because everybody's indoors. But does it seem a little more than coincidental to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, seeing a UFO from indoors is extremely rare. We don't have a lot of cases like that, but with schoolyard cases, yeah, there is at least 10 exactly like that where kids are in their class just kind of dozing or whatever, trying to get through it, and they look out the window, and there's a UFO hovering 100 feet away for 5-10 minutes, and the whole class is jumping up and down, and sometimes the teachers see it, sometimes the object moves quickly away before the teacher can look, but there's at least 10 cases exactly like that. Which is amazing, just kind of reinforces what I think the ET's agenda is in these types of cases, which is, you know, announcing their presence, saying, we are here. Yeah, you mentioned something earlier, get them while they're young. Well, I analyze these cases because these take place, of course, to elementary schools, middle schools, junior high schools, and colleges. But half of the cases involve elementary schools. Age kids, elementary schools.
It's not unusual, Preston, for UFOs to be seen by younger people. I know a lot of people, of course, Randall, myself, who got interested in the subject quite early on. Now, in my case, it was age 11 reading a UFO book. I didn't see something, but certainly the subject does appeal to younger people. There used to be, I don't think there is anymore, a teen ufology movement back in the 60s. And of course, all of us grew up, and you don't hear about that nowadays. You don't hear about as many people, younger people, getting completely involved in this, or they're doing it in ways that we don't understand. Anyway, question I would have here is, and we can't assume motives of whatever this force behind the UFOs are, but why even announce themselves to kids unless it has a lasting impact on their lives? What difference would it make compared to being seen before adults?
Right. Well, it's interesting because that's the very strong theme that comes through in these accounts is the children will say years and years later, and we're talking, you know, 10, 20, 30, even 40 years later, their childhood sighting there on the playground was something they think about virtually every day. Profoundly affected their worldview and completely changed their minds about what's out there and what's possible in this universe. You know, people said, well, you know, kids, they're imaginative. You know, how can you call them good witnesses when they invent invisible playmates and they have a blurred sense of reality, what's real and what's fantasy and so on? But you could put that the other way. On the other hand, children are not prejudiced about the subject. They have no beliefs for or against it. Their minds are unpolluted by all these various ideas about what UFOs might be. And this is something certainly that turns up in a lot of the early cases. They had never even heard of UFOs and had no idea what they were looking at and basically just reported what they saw. I think that they're ideal witnesses in many ways. And for people who say, oh, no, kids are fantasizing, you can't trust them. Well, half these cases involve teachers, and teachers are typically more educated than the average person. So any kind of arguments that this is fantasies made up by children just doesn't hold water.
You know what occurs to me, Preston, as you talk about that with regard to the UFO phenomenon? And I'm trying to just place this point together. UFOs may actually not even care about the age. It just happens they were in the right place at the right time. If the teachers were outside at that time and the students were inside, the UFO would still be there. Or do you hear the tree falling in the forest when nobody's there to hear it?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible that there's UFOs hovering on the school that, you know, people inside aren't seeing. There are cases like that. There was the case in 1966 at Beverly High School. This is in, I believe it's Massachusetts. I might have to correct myself on that, but it's a case from Ray Fowler and involved a young girl. She was in her home, which is next to Beverly High School. She looks out her window. She lives on the second story and sees what she first thought was a car driving down the street. This is at night, but it wasn't a car. It was a football-shaped silver object hovering about 10 feet above the road. It had no windows or anything. It had weird lights on it. It's clearly not normal. She tears down the stairs and screams at her parents, "There's a UFO outside." They didn't believe her, but she would not be put aside. And finally, her mom and her mom's two friends go outside to look for this thing. And she's like, it was heading towards the school. It was heading as looking like it was going to land. So they go towards the school, which is, you know, right there. It's a block away. And they get to the edge of the school, and they're looking over the field there. And sure enough, there's three objects. One of them's hovering very low over the school. And at this time, there is a basketball game going on inside Beverly High School. None of those guys ever saw these objects, which were hovering there for a good 5 minutes. One of the ladies, there's three ladies there looking at this.
We'll have more about that sighting and more on Schoolyard UFO Encounters with Preston Dennett. And Gina and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Jeffrey Epstein's victim's attorney, Lisa Bloom, is reacting to the millionaire sex trafficker's apparent suicide. Bloom says she was disappointed by the news because she was hoping Epstein would face his crimes and receive the punishment he was due.
We wanted Jeffrey Epstein to face justice.
We wanted that day when he would be held accountable. My clients felt that that's when the healing could truly begin, and now they've been deprived of that.
The deadly murders in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio have prompted renewed calls for gun reform legislation. During an appearance on Fox News, Democratic Congressman Al Green of Texas outlines a bill that he'd like to see Congress pass.
We ought to take up the bills that are currently pending in the Senate to deal with background checks. This is very important. Comprehensive background checks.
The president did say he's willing to work with Democrats and Republicans regarding legislation. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Message and data rates may apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, this may be the last time you ever have to worry about hair loss. Because Bosley is the real deal. They're giving women and men their hair back permanently. Their real hair. All it takes to get started is a single text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text TITAN11 to 85850. Bosley will show you, for free, how great your hair could look. You'll also see, for free, why you're losing hair and how to get it back. Women and men all over the country trust Bosley because they're America's number one hair restoration expert. Ahead of the curve with the latest technology. And the best part? Bosley has permanent solutions to hair loss. You'll love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting TITAN11 to 85850. Don't forget, that's TITAN11 to 85850.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So there's schoolyard activity, or was this an athletic game, right?
Yeah, this was taking place at night. There was a basketball game going on inside the school.
Okay, so they're doing a basketball game inside the school because so they couldn't see certainly what's going on outside.
Right, they had no idea. It was at this point just the three ladies who were witnessing these UFOs hovering over the school. One of them lifts her hand up to wave at the one of the objects, the closest one, which immediately drops out of the sky and hovers over their heads. All three women are standing next to each other, right over their heads, maybe 20 feet high. I mean, just in a split second. Two of the ladies turn and run. The other is so startled, she stays in place. Two of the ladies turn around, and they look at their friend, Brenda, and she's now screaming, her hands over her head, and this object has lowered even more down. It's about 10 feet above her head. They're like, run, run, run. She finally, you know, takes off. They run home. They get all their neighbors. They get everyone in the family, and they run back. Ray Fowler, one of the women, later confided to him that she was so frightened by, you know, when this thing dropped down, that she actually urinated herself. So this was a very close encounter. They run back. You know, they call the police. The police come. And the police are like, all right, who called about the plane? And they pointed to the object, which is now 30 feet above the school directly. And the police were visibly shaken. They hop out of their cruiser and start looking at this thing, which eventually, you know, hovers for a few more minutes and then takes off. And at this point, some military planes arrived and started circling around the school. What's really interesting, and this happens in other cases, is that object left Beverly High School and went directly to Gordon College, 3 miles away, where there were other people outside on the quadrangle there. And this thing makes a beeline for Gordon College, drops down to about 100 feet, stops for a split second, makes a right angle turn, and takes off straight up. Again, obviously putting on some kind of display. So, I mean, what are we to make of this? The Air Force, Project Blue Book, looked into this and couldn't believe it. They said, the people saw Venus. It's absurd.
That really does imply some sort of intent on the part of the aliens, doesn't it? You can't just say, okay, it's just a coincidence that they decided to leave one school and then zoom and zip instantly over to another one. And just, they just happened to stop at another school or educational institution. I find that really interesting. And I think it fits with their overall behavior.
We can speculate certainly about what their agenda is, but all we have is their behavior to guide us and what people have been contacted tell us. And this is the type of behavior, I mean, it's undeniable that they're targeting schools. And, targeting is a strong word. Someone said, well, maybe it's just a visiting. Well, either way, they're coming directly for our children. And that concerns me. It does, because children are vulnerable. They're perhaps our most precious resource. And to see so many of these cases targeting the youngest of our children, yeah, I do have some concerns about it.
It almost makes it sound like they're trying to prepare our society for their arrival by getting people who are young just used to the idea that, aliens are real. I don't know. It took you a while to realize that they were real. I'm not picking up from you any more doubt in your mind that they're real now. Gene, I don't even know if he's still totally sure, but he was introduced to it at a young age. And I just took it for granted that, with all these people and all these sightings and these people who are investigating, they've got to be real. So I grew up with the idea that they were real. It's interesting what you should mention because there's a field I walked to on the way to my school where I had a pretty interesting experience, which maybe we'd get into on the after the Paracast. But these things happen to people. So what we've got is it's irresistible. They're studying us. They're looking at our kids and our young people and saying, these are the people who are going to form the next generation of our society.
Right. And, we do have various other human activities that have large crowds of people, concerts, certain sports events. And we hear occasional sightings over events like that, but not in the numbers we're seeing with schoolyard encounters. And what's typical with schoolyard encounters is the witnesses' number, I'm going to say dozens would be small. Typically, it's 40 kids, 50 kids, 100, 200, 300. Each event builds up a very large audience of believers, converts, I guess. So it's very effective, I think. And we have a situation now where our younger generations pretty much universally do believe in this subject. So it's become mainstream. They are very close.
I think according to the polls, there are more people who do believe in it than don't. And then the rest are mostly undecided. And then there's this really a tiny percentage of what Stanton Friedman used to call the noisy negativists, So, I mean, they didn't get a chance to see one, unfortunately for them, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have a lot of repeating encounters. I find that interesting. Once a school is visited, that's usually it. But these cases started in large numbers pretty much exactly in the 1950s. I did find that one case in 1853, but there was a 100-year dry spell, pretty much, 97 years. It wasn't until 1950 that these cases started, and following 1950, they occur on the average of, one at least per year, two or three more likely. And, I did find 100 cases that took a very wide net, scouring MUFON and New Fork, and certainly APRO and NICAP and QFOS and all the other major organizations, not to mention, other researchers and newspapers. But I'm guessing that the 100 cases here are, the tip of the iceberg. I bet it's close.
That's really amazing because, we've heard of that. There's some cases about schools. We've the Rwanda Zimbabwe, the Westall case, fascinating cases. We've run across the other one here and there. But then you look at the title of your book, 100 true accounts. You know, at first I thought this might be a little bit thin, but that's quite a few accounts. So I'm really looking forward to checking this one out.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I've got so many cases. One very early case, March 15th, 1950, occurred at Prestonburg Elementary School, which I kind of like the case because it's got my name in it. but this occurred in Prestonburg, Kentucky, and it's a great case. It's a very early case. There was about 35 students and one teacher out on the playground. This is at the 1 p.m. break, when suddenly there was this terrible deafening roar. A very loud, or actually it's two objects, came dropping out of the sky from farther on the horizon over there, but came directly for the school, slowed down, circled over it, hovered for a second, and took off straight up. It terrified the students. They took off in a panic. Several of them thought that the world was ending. A couple became violently ill. You know, people fainting is not unusual in these types of cases, because these objects drop down very quickly and very low, very, very fast. And this case is, I find, unusual because it's so loud. Most of these cases involve silent objects or objects that have a low whispering or buzzing noise. But these were very, very loud. This does turn up in a few cases where the objects have very loud noises, like a siren in one case was described.
Well, it reminds me of the Zamora case is kind of what comes to mind there.
Right. And these objects took off, and then they came back again about an hour later. And by that point, of course, they had to send the children home. There was no chance that they were going to learn, which is another pattern you see in these cases when it's a particularly close encounter. School's out. That's it. Children are being sent home early because they just can't learn at this point.
Can you imagine your kid coming home? Hey, what happened at school today? Well, I'm not sure you'd believe me if I told you.
You know what? Yeah. Let's find out whether anyone can believe them. No, I never told my parents about UFOs. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
That's fair to say I did not see any UFOs when I was a kid. I once had something that may have been a UFO, but then it was basically an unusual cloud formation. But my ex-friend Larry, for several years, maintained we had seen a real flying saucer. And when I set him straight, forget about it. Didn't work for him. But I bought UFO books. Usually at the closeout tables at the Samuel Weiser bookstore in New York City for $1, $1.50. Had tons of books. My parents never, ever said a single thing, not a single thing about it.
They were probably just glad you were reading something, you know? I mean, there, that's a good sign. He can read. Well, I mean, that's what mine were like. I was doing the same thing. We'd go through a bookstore and I'd see like UFOs by Jim and Coral Lorenzen and it'd say, hey, this one looks pretty good. You know, can I get this book? And they were just fine with that. Sure. Okay. Well, you know, there he is. And he'll sit quietly in the back seat of the car and read about UFOs.
It's interesting. There was a case in, it was Glasgow, Scotland in 1952. School had just let out. This was Elder Park Primary School. And everyone was out there on the playground beginning to walk home when suddenly this huge shadow starts playing across the field. It's a perfectly round shadow, giant. Everyone looks up. It's this huge metallic craft. It looks very much like a sombrero hat. It kind of lazily moves over and hovers over the school steeple about 100 feet up, and it's rotating. It stays there for about 5 minutes. Main witness Joan Torrance said she had a weird sense of timelessness. She wasn't sure really how long they were staring at this thing. I find that interesting because that same comment turns up in a number of cases. People feel like they lose track of time. And this thing comes over the playground. And everyone's staring up at this thing. And finally, it just lifts up, makes a whirring sound, and takes off over the city of Glasgow. All the kids go home and tell their parents. Most are not believed. But it turns out a lot of people saw this thing that day. The newspapers got a lot of calls, and there was articles all over the newspapers. So the parents had to eat their words, basically, and learn that their children weren't lying. But typically, yeah, the parents do not believe the children. And if there's anything that this, you know, researching this book has taught me, that we should probably pay attention to what our children are saying.
particularly, you know, when they're describing UFO encounters.
Well, there's been some contact, actually, as well in some of these cases, right? Like, what sort of messages have been passed along by the aliens to the kids, if any, or the children?
Yeah, there are a lot of landing cases. The humanoid cases are fairly rare, but definitely does happen. There was one case, unpublished. I interviewed the lady myself. I met her at contact in the desert when I was speaking there. And she just brought it up out of the blue. I was really surprised to hear her talking about how she had this incredible schoolyard encounter when she was 10 years old in elementary school. This is in Mentor, Ohio. And suddenly she's out there on the playground and her friends come running after her, three friends, and they're screaming and they're like, look, look, look. And she turns around and there, right at the edge of the playground, this object is coming lower and lower and lower out of the sky. It's metallic, kind of not quite saucer shaped, almost egg shaped. Just slowly coming down, 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 down until it's right at treetop level, like right over the trees. And the witness I talked to, she wants to remain anonymous, just said the weirdest thing happened. It's like the entire world faded away. It was just her and this UFO. She got a real sense of timelessness. Wasn't sure how long she was looking at this thing, but got a distinct message from them in English, in her head, telepathically. And it said, remember this day. And she didn't know really what that meant other than, you know, the obvious.
It's like, duh, yeah, okay, I don't think I'm going to forget this for a while.
It sounds like a scene in one of the Star Trek movies where Spock takes his hand and places it on Dr. McCoy's cheek. And he says, remember.
Remember.
Yeah, well, it impressed her. She certainly did remember, which, you know, often people don't. There are some very interesting amnesia cases. But this object now sinks below the trees line. It's really interesting. In a lot of these cases, when UFOs land, they always land in a grove of trees or behind a tree there, right next to the playground. That was certainly true in this case. And she's waiting to see what happens when suddenly there's a real kind of a silver blur, like a bullet tracer. This thing just shot up so fast. If you weren't looking at it, you would never have seen it. And her three friends saw it. They all saw it. They don't think anyone else in the playground saw it. They're not sure. But they never talked about it. It was never mentioned ever again. That was basically it. And it's one of the few cases involving messages. The only one that really has messages of any length in it was the Rua, Zimbabwe case, where, yeah, a bunch of the children got very lengthy messages that were basically all very similar and all pertain to our environment. One lady was told that we are becoming too technological and we are using technology the wrong way, that there's a right way to use technology in the wrong way, and we could do a lot better. Another student received the message that our forests were dying and that they needed to be protected. Another got a message about air pollution. And this is, you know, back in 94 and, you know, a very rural area in rural Zimbabwe where certainly environmentalism was not an issue, like it is now, at least. But messages are pretty rare.
What do you think is going on with these messages about the environment? Because it seems to be a pretty common theme. You know, we've heard other cases of people who've been taken on board craft and then shown beautiful pictures of nature in all its glory juxtaposed with the destruction of nature by big industry and that sort of thing. And it's like, well, you know, is that a political thing you think that they're trying to convey, or is it really just an ecological thing? Or, you know, why is it always that particular juxtaposition, do you think? Because we know it's more complex than just we've got to protect nature, sure. But you'd think that we don't know that already. Like, they come down from I don't know where, and this is the most profound message they can give us because we know that we need help with it, not to be shown more pictures of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think it's political. You know, I ask people, you know, what part of the country are you from? What's your political leanings? What's your job? And this sort of thing. And you get a very wide spectrum. This experience happens to all people. That message that you're describing about environmentalism is the single most common message people get. You know, sometimes they'll get messages about healing or spirituality or, you know, the engine room and how the craft works. But overall, it's usually warnings of some type about nuclear proliferation, our warlike ways, pollution, overpopulation, this sort of thing. Very common. I think that they're concerned about our planet. And what I find interesting is this message has been universal since day one, whether you're talking about, you know, the contactee era of the 1950s with George Adamski and Truman Bethlehem and Howard Menger and all those guys, or, you know, Betty and Barney Hill and, you know, the modern day Gray's abductions, or the praying mantis or the human looking or whatever. That is the most common message, regardless of ET, regardless of location, regardless of witness. So it does appear to be their primary agenda is waking us up to, you know, the fact that we are destroying our environment.
You know, though, people don't pay attention to ET. If these are extraterrestrials, far advanced, far more advanced than we are because they're traveling across the stars. And they come here and they say, you got to get your act together, peace, love, you know, like Ringo Starr, peace, love, and let's fix the environment, all that good stuff. But what do the space people or the UFO knots, whatever they are, what do they accomplish from this? Nothing.
Yeah, they're not actually doing anything, are they? They're not intervening, at least not in any large scale, and not publicly. One couple I interviewed had an abduction experience in Sedona, Arizona. Well, they don't like to call it abduction. They were invited aboard, essentially. They said it was very pleasant. And they asked the ETs why they don't intervene. And the ETs said, well, we can't. You know, we can only help people on a limited basis. We try to help those who are helping others. This couple who had the onboard experience, they were herbal healers in Hawaii in their community and pretty effective at that, and social activists. That's a pattern I definitely see. People who are having contact are often doing good work for humanity in some capacity. It's a loose pattern, but turns up a lot. You know, people are doctors, social workers, environmentalists, this sort of thing.
Let's do our break here. Preston Dennett, Schoolyard UFO Encounters, and more with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.